Welcome back to Tumor Board with Hilario and Anish. I'm your co-host, Anish.
And I'm Hilario.
So today we're going to talk about a little bit of a different topic than usual. And this is regarding getting an advanced degree during medical training. So Hilario here is currently pursuing his MBA. And I think it'd be really neat to kind of talk to him about how he got interested, why he considered it, and what he's hoping to do with his degree in the future. And for any listeners out there who are interested in pursuing an MBA or other advanced degree, this could, you know, be a great discussion for you. And if you're not thinking about it, then maybe it's something to start thinking about. Because I think the earlier you consider it, then the easier it is to kind of pursue it and find programs who can support you. So Hilario, were you interested in getting an MBA before medical school or even during medical school? Or is this something that came on later on in your medical training?
Yeah, so the short answer is that no, I wasn't really thinking about getting an MBA prior to medical school or even during medical school. So I do know that my medical school, however, did give me the option to be able to, you know, get a dual degree in either bioethics or MBA. But that really didn't start becoming a thing for me until I joined a residency. And more specifically, maybe in the second year of my residency, that's when I really started thinking about an MBA.
So what changed? What was that change in your mind in that period of time that really drew you to the MBA and convinced you to go down this route?
Yeah, I mean, like you and I, like we go to clinic, right? We go and then we see patients. They come before us and we talk about what is ailing them, right? But there's another aspect of how they're able to even come in front of us, right? And sit in front of us, you know, something called insurance and what network they're in and how that affects even what kind of patients we can see, right? That's something that we really do not get any kind of education in when we're in medical school. And in residency, you don't get that education, but you get exposed to it. And, you know, some patients may ask you, do you think my insurance will cover this? And I'm like, no, I have no idea what your insurance is going to do. All I can say is that, you know, this thing is appropriate for you. And, you know, sometimes like in radiation oncology, for patients that, let's say they do have metastatic disease, for example, right? And we decided we're going to give them, let's say something like SBRT, which is not your classic palliative type treatment, right? Where, you know, we're doing a little bit more than just palliating, let's say pain, for example. SBRT is seen more of as a definitive type of treatment, something a little bit more than just palliating, right? In cases where we think that may be appropriate for some patients, right? That for a long time was something that like insurance people would not approve, right? And so that and, you know, a bunch of other things that happens in residency where you see the helplessness of physicians, right? The lack of understanding of the financial aspect of medicine makes physicians feel very helpless. And you know, in conversation with administration people, right, you know, half of the time they talk about something and hear jargons and you don't really understand what they're saying. So for me, that was really the beginning point of me starting to think about what it means to really care about the financial aspect, the health economics of this industry or this, you know, profession that we're in. So that's where it began. But I wouldn't say that, you know, I had concrete plans even in the beginning of residency.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like during your training, just observing your patients and what's going on with them, you basically realize without this business financial knowledge, it is difficult to provide real high quality care for patients and in a, I think, affordable manner for them. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, like, say you are an internal medicine provider, right? You know, you don't know or you don't understand what will be approved or not approved in a patient's insurance coverage, right? So you say, oh, I think this medicine is good for them because that's the best medicine there is. And maybe you're not necessarily thinking about the cost so much because you think insurance is going to approve that. But really understanding the other options that are available that may be also cost effective and might not be that different from, you know, this new drug that you want to prescribe for the patient, that gives you a little bit of pause and thinking about how that affects the patient and what they're able to afford and all that kind of stuff, right? I don't think that that's something that we, you know, we come out of residency knowing much about. We just kind of like go through that, you know, and I think part of this leads to a lot of paperwork and, you know, prior authorizations and really talking to insurance, you know, people and trying to see if someone's medications or treatment plan will be approved or not. And, you know, we talked about, you know, burnout in some of our prior like episodes, how with this kind of documentation and this financial toxicity that we get exposed to from our patient side and also as providers, right? That also contributes to some of our burnout. So that is really a lot of my motivation. I guess another motivation is that in radiation oncology, at least the way I understand it, is there's a considerable amount of us that go to private practice, right? We don't end up necessarily in academic institution, but being in a private practice, then, you know, I would like to be able to understand, you know, the practice of medicine in whatever practice I'm in, and hopefully be able to take some kind of leadership role in that kind of practice if I have an MBA, right? If you're in academics, there's always the growth ways that, you know, you can move into administration. People that really work part of their time in the clinic and, you know, also do administrative work. And I think as physicians, we're really in a very, you know, good position to really be able to advocate for our patients while also considering the financial aspect of medicine. In contrast to someone who may never really went to medical school or doesn't have any medical background, I think we're better suited if we understand, you know, the business aspect of medicine. So those are some of my motivations for really doing this. And I can certainly go into just the different ways that, like, you know, an MBA has been beneficial for me as we go on with this conversation.
Yeah, so it seems like there's multiple motivations and that getting that knowledge base, that MBA, can help deliver better patient care. It can help even prevent burnout by, I guess, having that physician have more knowledge and control over a situation and be able to actually affect bigger change. And that could even help their own well-being. Mm-hmm. Is there a focus of your MBA, or is this like a general MBA?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you get an MBA, you can literally get an MBA in anything, any kind of business, right? So when I was applying, you know, I saw the different concentrations that the school that I applied to kind of showed, right? It's like, you can get an MBA in commerce, you can get an MBA in, data analytics and informatics, all sort of different concentration. But obviously, like being in medicine, I was looking for an MBA in healthcare management, which is really what I am particularly interested in. So a lot of the times what happens is that there's core MBA classes that you have to take, you know, like accounting, right? You know, you might take some, you know, some managerial classes and here and there. But if you're in healthcare management, at least in my experience, you will be learning about healthcare policy, right? You'll be learning about the ins and outs of insurance, right? Learning about the healthcare system that we're in, right? And the health economics that affects, you know, us as providers and also our patients and also payers, which is either government or private insurance groups, right? So that's kind of where I am. I'm taking an MBA in healthcare management. But okay. By all means, you can take a generic MBA. I think my medical school did have, I think it was primarily a generic MBA combined with the medical degree.
Okay, so that's good to know. I mean, there might be, like you said, med schools or students are applying to who offer MBA, but they might not be especially geared towards the healthcare sector. And it seems like it's very well-rounded in terms of what they're teaching you and what you're learning from insurance to hospital management, et cetera. What are some of the, you know, the opportunities that can be pursued with this MBA in healthcare management? And you alluded to potentially if you're working in a hospital system or in private practice and trying to grow that, are there other opportunities that can be pursued with this?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think to really understand the opportunities, I think you have to understand the pros of and the cons of getting an MBA, right? One of the pros that at least in my opinion is that physicians that have an MBA, particularly in the healthcare sector, are going to understand healthcare policy and how it affects them, right? So that is an important aspect of it. And so as physicians, we have healthcare policy makers that make decisions, regulatory decisions about how we practice, right? And how that can affect our patients and also insurance groups and also us to how we practice our medicine. So I think if you're someone with an MBA in healthcare management, that is an opportunity for us to be potential healthcare policymakers. And that can take the shape of being a regional, like say, within the city of Philadelphia, for example, right? That there are avenues for us to be able to have careers that combine practicing and also being able to be a part of a policymaker, right? And then, you know, I mentioned that you could have your own practice, right? Or if you have your own practice, you really want to understand the financial aspect of it. So that's an opportunity for someone. I think I'll certainly be more comfortable, you know, setting up my own practice than not having an MBA or not learning anything about, you know, finance, right? And deciding to actually run my own practice. I think there is an opportunity that an MBA opens up for you. And then if you're in academics, for example, you have in a big hospital, that really affects a region, right? Like, and you can move up, you know, you're better suited to be picked or to get a job where you can use your MBA as an administrator or like as a CEO of a hospital or healthcare system, right? So those are opportunities that usually people that do not have an MBA for or do not have an experience in the business side of medicine would not necessarily be good candidates for, right? So I think those are opportunities that, you know, you can pursue with a degree in business administration.
You know, it seems like there's a lot of paths you can go down with this MBA in healthcare management. It's really interesting to me always that you go through medical school, residency, and exposure to finances, the business of medicine, business of healthcare is fairly minimal. And you get what you can. You know, understand what you can. You're exposed to whatever you're able to be exposed to, but you have so many other things to learn about the actual medicine. And unfortunately, once you graduate, you're kind of thrown into a position and you just have to kind of sink or swim, really, right, and to try and understand all these insurance things, payment things, the business side of things, especially depending on what kind of job you may have.
Right.
And, you know, there is this adage that physicians in general have a pretty minimal understanding of business and financial knowledge. What are your thoughts on that? And also the converse, where a lot of CEOs and executives of these hospital systems, of these practices, of these insurance companies have no medical knowledge at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly like that's a loaded question, right? Like, a lot of it is true, right? We go through medicine. And when we go to medical school, there's a lot of work that we have to do. Like, there are a lot of things that you have to study. But I do think that there is room to take classes in finance, even if it has to be personal finance, right? For example, like a lot of us, like, you know, go to medical school and we have no idea how we're paying for medical school. We just know that we can borrow money, right? And so we just borrow money, you know, left and right. And I think the average, like, what, medical school student loan, right, when people graduate, is closer to like $500,000, right? I think it was like almost $350,000.
And then by the time you pay it off, though, that insurance, that interest starts to accrue, right? It's like $500,000. Yeah.
By the time you pay it off, it's like $500,000 or even more, right? And like, I think part of why that number is high is because there's no good planning, right? We don't really have good planning around that, right? We don't get any kind of personal finance education to really, like, think about how we're going to pay for our education. So that's just the one part of it. So it is true. We don't, you know, physicians usually do not understand the finance part because we're not business people, right? Necessarily.
Right.
But unfortunately, right, that's the system that we live in. It's like everything, you know, is a business to a degree, right? And whether we like it or not. And there's ways that we have to understand that business if we want to change it for the better, right? If we want to change it so that the incentives align properly to good patient quality care, right? And less so on how much money you can bring into a practice, right? You cannot really, as a physician, affect that without really understanding what insurance is, right? So, and on the other end, there's a whole lot of burnout. There's a whole lot of like mistakes that get made in hospitals, right? And there are several reasons for all of that, right? And that affects patient care, right? People who are administrators, people who are in managerial roles that do not have any experience in medicine are not going to understand why this is happening, right? And how that is affecting patient care and how that's affecting, you know, employee morale and burnout, right? So on both ends, right, you know, there's a disadvantages or shortcomings that comes with just being a physician and knowing nothing about the finance aspect of medicine, and then being an administrator and knowing not much about medicine, right? So
yeah.
I think the people that are probably better suited is that, you know, you need to know both. But people who know both of those disciplines are going to be better suited to make policies for us to be able to affect medicine, right? In good ways. And unfortunately, that's not the case right now, all right? There was one thing that you mentioned, we talked about the opportunities of getting an MBA. I personally, getting an MBA and actually understanding a little bit of accounting, right? I'm not an accountant, right, by any means. So understanding a little bit about finances, right? That has, you know, reflected in my own personal finance, right? How, you know, how I spend, how I budget, right? And all that kind of stuff, right? That's like the basic for any individual. And I don't think a lot of us as medical students or residents really understand that. And our attendants probably don't either, right? You know, the question that you asked was like, you know, is any of this true? And what is my take on it? I think at the end of the day, physicians need to be more finance savvy, especially in the business that they're in. Another thing that I'll probably say in regards to that question is that, like, I also do not necessarily think that you need to get an MBA to be able to do this. And I know, Anish, you and I talked when we were deciding what we're going to do with our PGY 4 year, right? There's so many ways you can get educated in finance. Like, thinking about places like Coursera, right? You know, that's not like a degree necessarily, but there are classes that you can take, online classes that you can take, just for your own benefit, that, you know, you can understand what business is. So you can understand basic business just taking classes. Coursera classes, there are free online business classes that you can also take, right? That can help you as individual to really, you know, understand the financial aspect of medicine. And I think we talked about maybe what did you find when you were investigating like Coursera example, or like learning something?
Yeah, there were several online things where you can get like certificates if you complete the courses. It's not a degree of any sort, but it's but there were courses taught by university, actual business school universities like Wharton, University of Illinois.
Right.
So they do have that out there for the public to access. So there are options for people interested.
Right. So yeah. So I mean, that is for someone that wants to do an MBA or wants to get a understand of business on their own pace, right? For example, like I'm taking classes, so I have to take them in a particular time, right? And then there are some MBA programs that actually are flexible where, you know, if you're an attendant and you're working and you want to take an MBA, you can take it over a period of, you know, several years, let's say 4 years, for example, and you take it at your own pace kind of thing, right? I happen to be taking it because I want to take it in a very tight period of time. So that's why I'm taking several classes right now, just kind of like finish it in a particular time. So there are many ways that it is feasible to be able to get either an MBA or get an understanding of business in medicine without the degree, of course. But I think that I wanted to do it in a way to get a degree because obviously that looks good on paper. And if I'm going to, you know, try and get a job, that is an easy way to say, this is where I want to, and this is my degree, and this is my credentials or whatever, to be able to kind of gun for a job or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, my maybe hot take is that I think it is easier for people of our background, like MD background, who are already very familiar with the ins and outs of daily hospital life, who have an understanding and I think just in general empathetic nature and familiarity with things, to learn that business side and apply it in a safe manner that's safe for patients and patient care than an executive who has no understanding of medicine and who never really went through medical school, went through training, went through all these patient interactions we go to. I think we do, we have a lot to offer with that background. How do you, you alluded to personal finance and education and this stuff, but what are your thoughts on how do we change this? Right? Like, how do we get physicians in training to get this better understanding? Like, yes, it's easy to say, okay, take Coursera classes on your free time. But how do we make it more structured, make it more emphasis on it, even during medical school? Because, in my opinion, and I think things are changing. I know a lot of schools are changing and offering classes now. I feel like there was this weird active exclusion of business and financial training in my medical education. They never offered any classes. They never want to talk about it. And I can see why, but how do we change that, and how can we get rising doctors better prepared and equipped? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest time to really start doing that is obviously when you start medical school, right? I think it gets a little bit more harder as the years go by. Med students have more time than residents. Residents have more time than attendants, right? And that's how it goes. So in that order, it's going to be your time. You're going to be more time constrained, the later we try to implement stuff like trying to get some kind of financial aid in education in medicine. So I would think that at the level of med school, that's where we should really make the big change because it's going to be easy. There is already MD, MBA programs all around the nation, right? So in the past, like say 20 to 30 years, right? according to like the Association of MD MBA programs, they've gone from like 6 programs to like over 60 something in that time, right? So clearly people are thinking about the role of physicians in the business of medicine. And again, this is not saying that I think medicine should purely be a business. I'm saying that whether you think it should be a business or it shouldn't be a business, you can't really make any impactful change without understanding business, right?
Right.
So I think that the fact that, you know, there's been more MD, MBA programs that have increased over the past decades means that people are thinking about it. I think the issue probably is like people taking advantage of them, right? I didn't take advantage of it when I was in a school that had it. And I think it probably would have been a little bit more cost effective as well, because you do an MD, MBA program in 5 years for some schools, right? My school did that way. And the additional tuition is certainly more cheaper than what it is right now, me taking it as an MBA on its own right now. So, you know, that's something that I think we should, you know, maybe med schools should encourage the students to, I mean, it's a certain fraction of them. Not everybody's going to get an MD, MBA, right? I think there should be people also getting degrees in healthcare bioethics and all that kind of stuff that affect how we practice medicine and our patients, right? So, you know, the short answer is that, yeah, it should be probably on the med school level. If you're not able to, I think there's usually more, you know, opportunities in residency to be able to do some of these things. And you really have to have a plan. I went into residency not thinking that I was going to be able to do this, right? But certainly it's ways that you can make a plan around it, depending on the specific program that you're in, to be able to do some of these things. Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about you specifically. You alluded to the fact that you chose this program. One of the big reasons is because you could finish it in this time frame you had. Can you talk a little bit about the application process? And, you know, you didn't go to an undergraduate business school, so you really didn't have classes you've taken. Was that put against you, or did they not really consider that negatively?
Yeah, so when I decided I wanted to do the MBA program, I really realistically had two options. So, you know, either you do one that you have to do like night classes and you have to go in, or you do an online version, right? And then at the same time, when I did my research, I found out that my hospital, right, Temple University Hospital, is affiliated with Temple University. So they have a business school, right? So if you go through that, you can have your tuition paid by your institution as part of something that's relevant to your job as a physician, right? In terms of application, I think most of them are on rolling basis. So you can really start, you know, summer, spring, fall, you know, winter, whatever, right? But I think you have to know what kind of concentrations that they offer. So some of them, maybe they sprinkle a little bit of healthcare in there. I think when I compared the two that I was looking at, I ended up at a program where they had a robust and a history of actually healthcare management. Some of them, I say, we do health sector, like, concentration, right? And you might take, let's say, a class or two on healthcare in the United States. But the program I'm in, essentially, like about close to half of my courses are related to healthcare economics, right? And healthcare management. And, you know, so
that's a lot. That's a lot, right? A high proportion.
So, right. So you get a very good exposure of the thing that is relevant to you. In terms of the background, right, they don't hold it against you. So the fact that I had a graduate degree in medicine, right? Medicine's a graduate degree, right?
I forget sometimes.
It's actually a doctorate degree, right? Like, you know,
that's true.
We're doctors, right? But the fact that you have that kind of shows them that you are motivated enough to learn some of the foundations of, you know, of finance, right? So a lot of the classes, you will learn some basic stuff about accounting and finance, right? And for my specific program, besides just taking some basic accounting and finance classes, there are courses that you can do, or resources, like they call them foundational courses, that you have access to if you need to go get some background in something, a class that you're taking before, to better understand what it is that you're doing right now. So yes, I didn't do business in undergrad or anything like that, but there was certainly a lot more courses available for me to catch up. And I think that wasn't difficult to do at all. So that's kind of how I was able to do that. And you'll be amazed how much resources are actually available in places like YouTube. Like YouTube is like
for the win,
right? YouTube is an untapped university, right? Obviously, there's so much random crap that you can also learn on YouTube, but if you find the appropriate people on YouTube, you can learn so many basics of things in pretty much any kind of field, right? There is financial Twitter. Twitter is also another, you know, underused like resource. Like, you know, FinTwit is like a very popular,
very exciting hashtag stuff on there.
Yeah, and it's very, very, you know, like very educational things on those platforms that can help your background and your foundations in some of the things that you want to pursue in an MBA. So that's the thing. At the end of the day, it wasn't really counted against me. If anything, you know, having that doctorate degree shows that you at least hardworking and you're gonna like do this thing because you're motivated enough.
Mm-hmm. So someone out there might be thinking, okay, I'm done with medical school, I'm in residency, and I'm actually really interested in getting an MBA or another advanced degree. But I have all this med school debt. It's like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
How do I
pay for this? So how did the finances work for you, and were you able to get any support?
Right. So the cheapest way is that you have to first go to your HR group. Like, your HR group have a lot more information about this kind of benefit. I did not know that Temple could pay everything if I wanted to do it. One of the reasons why I didn't do it at Temple was because it was going to take me, the shortest it could take me was 2 years. So I didn't want it to overlap with my last year of residency when I'm back full-time in clinic, right? So in our research year, we're not in clinic for the most part, right? So we're doing mostly research. And if you're taking a graduate degree, you're doing classes here and there, right? So that was the only reason why I didn't take Temple. But if I did Temple, that is paid for. So you have to, first of all, you know, go to your HR. If that's not an option where your HR doesn't pay for it, and I think that's very unlikely because I think most of them will pay some of it. So when I went to another institution, my HR group reimburses me some of my tuition, which is another thing that if they don't pay everything, they probably will pay some of it. And especially if you're doing something like MBA in healthcare, and you can make a good case that that's relevant to the job that they have you doing, right? So you need to find that out, first of all. You know, the schools that I applied to, some of them also give scholarships. So I did also get like a 25% scholarship from the school.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
Right. So that's a lot of money. And there are actually affordable MBA programs, you know, very affordable MBA programs. Some as little as $10,000 for getting the whole MBA, right?
Oh, wow. That's right. Like nothing.
Yeah. And I mean, compared to how much you have probably from your medical
education. Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, it's not nothing, but it is money, and it is a chunk of money, but comparatively, it's not as bad, right? For the potential benefit that you could have from it, right? So HR may pay some of it, you can get some scholarships from the programs that you're applying to. And then if all fails, you know, there is FAFSA. We are still allowed to be able to apply for FAFSA. And that is obviously going to be a conversation you need to have with yourself or your spouse about getting additional loans to get a graduate degree. But like we mentioned already, if all of this, you know, if it's cost prohibitive, you know, getting an understanding of business in healthcare doesn't have to be that expensive if you take a course, some kind of online course, and have a certificate and really show that you can really you can get some hands-on experience in healthcare administration by working with your hospital, you know, folks, the people in administration. I think that's another way that people, there are people who are like doctors and are in administration in hospitals and they don't have MBAs that are doing quite well. So the end game is that you have an understanding and you have a role to play in administration in medicine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Horu, do you want to be hospital CEO?
I told you the reasons why I did an MBA. I don't actually know what that would look like for me in terms of how I use my MBA. But yeah, I mean, any chance to boss you and Anish around that would be a welcome, experience. So
as long as you promote me.
But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't think it's, you know, it's easy being a hospital CEO. I definitely need a whole lot of experience running practices and working in administration before I can, you know, really be a hospital CEO. But I don't think I'm opposed to the idea. So, you know, This degree is supposed to just open all these opportunities, right, for me to be able to do some of these things. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I am excited to see where your career goes. And I think this is a really great discussion on getting an MBA and pursuing an advanced degree. And I think the real takeaways are that MBA, especially in healthcare management, there's a lot of avenues open and things you can do with it. I think hopefully medical schools continue to evolve and bring in this business and financial training as part of the core curriculum, really, as healthcare continues to change. And if you're out there, you're listening, you have any more questions, feel free to message us, email us. We'll be happy to answer, especially Hilario. We'll be happy to answer. Our final question, as usual, Hilario, is there any new TV show or book you've read? Any recommendation you have?
TV show or book I've read. So I read a little bit of this, The Intelligent Investor.
Oh, you bought it. Okay, I bought it too. I haven't started.
I read it a while back ago, and I really liked it, and I'm kind of going back to reading it. I think it's the, you know, Ben Graham is really a very smart guy, and there's a lot of ways that people got into retail investing in the pandemic, and basically like cryptos and all that kind of stuff, and you know, this speculative assets. And I think Ben Graham in this time is a very sensible person to be reading. TV show, I watched, Wednesday? It's like The Addams Family. Like, it's a show on Netflix. Yeah, I liked it. It wasn't my choice, my first choice, but then, you know, I was watching it with my wife and I really got into it. So that was a really good That's a really good show that I recently watched.
Wednesday was really good. I did.
Oh, you seen it?
Couple of days I was putting it on while, you know, so it was good. And for those of you who didn't see what book Hilario was holding up, it was Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham, like the founder of value investing.
Yeah. So what have you been watching or reading these days, Anish?
So I actually did finish Wednesday as well. I thought it was really good. I actually really enjoyed it. I think the acting was pretty good by Jenna Ortega. I think Tim Burton did a good job directing. So I surprisingly found it really funny. I thought dialogue was great.
Yeah.
Reading-wise, I've been a little stark on the reading, but I did, I am traveling and I did bring a book with me. So, I'll let you know how it is.
You're traveling to India, right?
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
you're excited about that?
I am. I'm looking forward
Well,
to
when was the last time you were in India?
it. 2014.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to go, but it just didn't work out in med school. And then
Gotcha.
2 years ago, I had plans, but COVID happened, so it got canceled. But going now, so
Yeah,
I'm looking
that's
forward
really
to it.
exciting. That's really exciting stuff. It's gonna be warmer than here, so you know that's nice.
Yeah, partially.
That's gonna be a fun time. Yeah, maybe you can tell me all about it when you get back. All right.
I will.
All right. All right.
Listener, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye.